League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Ooh, what up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
Brian, it's 3:01. It's 3:01, Brian. 3:01:20.
I mean, that's better than usual. You should complain.
Don't give me the "it's better than usual." Don't set yourself to the standard of the Killer G.
Well, then I make sure I can exceed it.
Don't set yourself to the Killer G standard. Set yourself up for
expectation. I'm fine with it. Crushed it.
Bunch of noobs doing radio. It is better than usual, though. Far better than usual. The record, in case you guys are keeping track at home, is 3:20 into the 3 o'clock hour.
Have we ever
latest in our jingle hit? It goes from the jingle. It doesn't go from your "what up, H-Town." It goes from the intro.
Right. But so, have we ever intentionally both missed on the same day? Aside from like a holiday,
missed a work day?
The same show. Yeah, like
I'm sure. Yeah, holiday though. Holiday.
Other than a holiday, like I was like when I saw the messages and everything going out, I'm like, hey, stay tuned for the Killer G's with neither G. Like,
yeah.
Brian and Sean. I'm like, okay.
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Yeah. I'm not sure that.
I don't think
Christmas,
we've ever done that. Yeah, other than the holidays. Christmas.
I don't think you have,
other than a holiday show. I don't think you have both missed the same
day. It's mostly
night.
Blankers, too. Like, Blankers doesn't use up all his PTO days.
No, never.
Like, he doesn't. I will, for sure. But, so it's probably more you're doing. But, yeah, I don't think that we've ever had a killer in the history of our show, which is, what, 3.5 years, something like that?
Yep, something like that.
Some said it wouldn't last that long,
but I was wrong.
But if you don't believe in the word divorce and you just fight through your issues,
right,
you're gonna what's the word I'm looking for? Prevail at the end. But yeah, I don't think we've done that.
No, I don't think so at all. Yeah, but and also another thing worth noting is yesterday, once again on the last day that Joe was here, not ironically anymore, the food showed up during their show again.
I was surprised you didn't bring that up yesterday. I wasn't going to say anything. I thought it took me
a little bit because I wanted to see, because, you know, by the time we get here, it's all picked apart. Everybody just runs roughshod through it. And I finally had time to ask Esme. I was like, hey, when did the food get here? She goes, oh, it was right after Joe and Paul got on the air. I go, isn't that convenient?
Yeah.
How that always works out. Always works out.
I didn't realize we were going to have food yesterday.
I didn't either. I had no clue.
Mendocino Farms was outstanding.
Oh, it was really delicious.
They killed it. I wonder if Joe didn't tell us because he didn't want to set us up for disappointment. Like if it was all gone, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Which I can kind of – actually, I actually respect that.
Yeah, no. I mean
– I'd rather him not tell me there's going to be food and then there is food than him tell me there's going to be food and then there's no food. That's a way better alternative.
Yeah, it's a nice surprise when it's here. But then when you have to ask how long it's been here – like, sometimes you would think that we would get the first crack at it, unless it's one of our sponsors, for you or me personally.
Right. Yeah. So, how was the when did you find out you were doing the show, Brian, today with Sean?
Like 8:30 last night.
Oh, okay. So you knew last night.
Yeah, I knew last night.
You didn't want to tell us, though?
No, I wasn't sure what you guys were doing. I figured I'd just tell you in the morning.
Mm, okay. All right.
You got kids. You got other stuff. So I figured I'd tell you.
Yeah, 8:30 is way too late to text us.
So, I don't know. Some people's cutoffs are weird. I never knew. I just thought I'd wait till the morning.
Yeah, we get off at 6, but 8:30 is too late.
Well, I mean, there could be it's not because you'd be going to bed, but you could be going out to dinner. You could be doing – I mean, Jeremy, you have 5 other jobs. There could be a lot of things going on.
That is true. How was the fan interaction during today's Killer G's?
There was a Cowboys fan that got a little mad at me.
I heard that.
He got a little saucy, and I mocked him back, and I don't think he found it very humorous. But overall, it's pretty good.
See, you would get
– killing the listeners.
Brian did what I've done that you would have given me hell for.
What do you mean?
It was a Cowboys fan, and then he went into –
Like, I read
he went into character reading it how he thought
the tone,
that person
yeah, how the
sounded
tone came off to me
and the tone that he took. And it was very, it was twangy and it was very emotional.
Yeah, it was panicky, I think, is the way I would. There's so we did a misery index of like the most the fan or the teams it would most suck to be a fan of. And Cowboys came up in part because AJ, who was producing for us, is a Cowboys fan. And so we brought up, we made the case of why it would suck to be a fan of theirs, which I think is fairly easy to make. But a Cowboys fan got up and all up in his feelings and started trying to make it a Cowboys fan versus Texans fan thing. And so I read that text to the text line in a very, like, angsty voice. And he didn't find that humorous.
I would imagine it is kind of hard to be a Cowboy fan with Jerry
with
Jones
Jarrah.
Specifically.
Yeah.
I think Jerry frustrates the hell out of their fan base. But I don't think it should be hard to be. I mean, I understand the recent struggles,
but misery. There's certainly misery in the recent history of Dallas Cowboy fandom. I know a lot of Cowboy fans that
too.
Are miserable because of Jerry Jones.
Yep.
I think it's
a
fair
too.
Take.
It's just, you know, I also, you know, would say, but at least you've had extended success. You went on a couple of runs where, you know, they were unbelievable. To at least you've experienced that. It
depends
does
on the age of the fan, though.
That's
like the two other people on the show today with me, AJ and Sean, neither one were alive when they won their last title.
Yeah, AJ was born when I was a junior in high school.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, I
Sean was
that's
born
right.
in 97, so he wasn't alive either. And I mean, the older of the two, but even he wasn't alive when they won their title.
All you got, like, babies. There are babies. Bunch of babies. 75 says that wasn't Killer G's, that was ratings killer. 12 to 3.
12.
Save that for Brian text, which doesn't exist anymore.
Killer G's apparently just love to work. Y'all should just come in late one day. They'll have you covered. Well, they're not working today, Texter.
No.
So they don't love to work today.
Or Paul's not working the rest of the week.
And he's off the rest of the week. He doesn't like February radio, late February radio. Can we keep today's lineup best 12 to 3 in a long time?
Well, so there you go, Brian. You got a compliment.
There
you
we
got
go.
A fan. You're a
one them over.
Mapes and Mac.
I did think about calling us Mac and Mapes, but I decided not to.
How come you went your name first?
I thought it flowed better. Mm. Mac and Mapes. It doesn't sound as abrupt as Mapes and Mac. I don't know.
Just called it M&Ms.
Yeah, Killer M's. There was a thousand ways we could have gone.
Killer
M's. Cheesy.
Killer M's is completely out of the question, by the way. M&Ms at least makes some sense. But don't go sitting there and stealing our.
No, I wasn't stealing.
It was your idea.
You sometimes refer to the Gallant George as the Killer G's.
Yeah, you said Killer M's. He didn't say Killer M's.
Well, I did say Killer
M's. I thought you said Killer M's.
No, that was me.
Oh, okay. Ocho says, what's up, guys? Tuning in as I've been on the Utah Utes to cover the plus 800 money line at Arizona tonight. Okay.
You just fired their coach, right?
Covering isn't not the word you're using here, Ocho. You mean to win the game outright. You don't cover a money line. You win the money line.
That's right.
And they did fire their coach. Kind of interesting. I didn't know that was coming. Texter says, you guys shouldn't have lasted. I should be listening to the Wheelhouse right now. To disappoint you, but you're still listening. So
hope the exterminator gets the red weasel for you when you need him, but we don't need him here.
I do tip the cap at the joke, though. I like a good put down from time to time. I can respect that sort of thing. Speaking of prevailing, the Rockets prevail yesterday and beat the Milwaukee Bucks. Good win for the Rockets yesterday against a former NBA champion.
Yeah, I mean, look, anytime you beat an upper echelon team, credit goes to the Rockets, and they needed a win like that. And so I'm glad that they got it. It was not a pretty game, to say the least, but I think that when they did a lot of good things, they also made a lot of mistakes that are still glaring. And the minute I start thinking about some of the mistakes they made, I'm like, these are things you can't do in a playoff series that you're going to have to get better at, that you continue to do between now and the end of the regular season, because seeding's going to matter. And if you make it and you get into one of the top six seeds and you get into a series, those are the things that can be killers for a season. But they did find a way to win, and they played better. I mean, look, I think that you start with their defense. The fact that they held Milwaukee to 40% shooting, I don't think Milwaukee has shot less than 40% shooting in three games this year. And so the fact that the Rockets got them there. But the most important thing is in the fourth quarter, where they normally collapse, they held the Bucks to 12 points.
Yeah. I feel like you should be a little bit more complimentary to the Rockets.
Well,
if you're going to be,
you feel that way.
If you're going to be down about them whenever they lose to Utah in the second leg of a back-to-back, I think you got to give them a little bit more praise than you're giving them right now.
Don't choke to the Spurs tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if they lose tonight. Like, it's the I do not care when a team loses the second game of back-to-back.
But
I don't care. Like, second leg of a back-to-back, I never penalize a team.
I think that's ridiculous.
I don't think it's a good test of what a team really is.
If you're home for both games, don't have to worry about flights and air, you know, hotels and what time you get in and get your bags, and you're home for both games, I believe that you need, and especially with a young team, I believe that you should beat the Spurs and you should beat them handily tonight.
Okay, agree to disagree there.
Right.
That said, that has nothing to do with last night's game.
No, but I think that, you know, I think Milwaukee did them a favor. I think that the fact, I used to try and defend Doc Rivers. I can't defend Doc Rivers anymore. I mean, you watch that fourth quarter in a one-point game. He left Lillard and Giannis on the bench and watched Kevin Porter Jr. almost single-handedly turn a one-point game into an 8 or 9 point game with turnovers and bad decisions and missed shots. And by the time he brought those guys in, they were playing from, and then their execution down the stretch was just embarrassing for a team that's supposed to be a championship caliber team. So I criticize the Bucks a lot, but look, I give the Rockets their credit. Jalen was really good, and Jalen, when you get Jalen like that, that can make shots, especially when you need a bucket, that's what you're looking for him to take it to the next level.
Yeah, I think you have to applaud the Rockets' defense, and you did. You mentioned that they held them in their fourth quarter to 12 points, which is so bad. That fourth quarter in general, bad.
That was ugly.
15-12 was the score in the fourth quarter. And look, the Rockets, like, they didn't close the game well offensively. That's just a fact of the matter. It is the truth. But I thought that they were really good at closing the game defensively. Like, yes, offensively you can say a lot of bad things. But the defense deserves some praise, especially after I was very critical of their defense recently, especially coming off the All-Star break where they gave up tons of points to Utah, gave up tons of points to Minnesota in a win. You mentioned the Milwaukee shooting percentage, 40%. You hold a team that's in the Eastern Conference playoffs right now to 12 points in the fourth quarter and 97 points in the game. I'm going to applaud the defensive effort. Yes, they struggled to close that game offensively, but they did not struggle to close that game defensively.
Right.
You mentioned Jalen Green. Jalen Green, since the All-Star break, 35, 25, 25. He has 85 points in the first three games, and the shooting has been good. Mm-hmm. 5 for 11 against Minnesota, 6 for 12 from 3. 5 for 11 from 3 against Minnesota, 6 for 12 from 3 against Utah. 5 of 11 from 3 against Milwaukee. And look, we know that Jalen Green goes through the ebbs and flows, so like we feel like here's the ebb, where's the flow? Peaks and valleys, all of the cliches. Jalen Green, if he's this type of player, and we say this all season long, right, which is frustrating because we have to do the same thing every other month, but this is the type of guy that can be an all-star. This is the type of guy that I think can be the best perimeter player on a really good basketball team. But every single time you have this Jalen Green conversation, you always have the but. It has to be consistent.
Yeah, you just know, as much as you don't want to say that it's going to happen anymore, you just know that really stinker game or run of games is coming. And that's why it's so frustrating because, you know, Shaq said last night, he was talking about the Lakers and the potential of a matchup with the Rockets. He's like, you know, 40-year-old LeBron, even with Luka, does not want to see a young Jalen Green and the rest of that squad getting up and down the floor and getting up in the air. That's if Jalen Green's good. But that's why I mentioned it as well. That's the kind of fourth quarter performance. Stay within the offense, but when you get your shots, you take them. He made a big three. He made a big pull-up mid-range. He had the right plays at the right time, and that's what you're expecting when I expect him by now in this career to already have taken that step to the next level. We know it's there. That's what makes it so frustrating.
Yeah.
It's like if he just came into the league and he was less than, you're just like, well, he might be a bust.
Yep.
You know it's there. You just don't know when it's going to be there and when it's going to go south.
Yeah. I think it's the shooting. Like I think he's an inconsistent shooter. I think he has a good work ethic, all of that. I just don't know if he's ever going to be this great shooter, and I think that's what leads to the inconsistencies. And he's been in the league a while, obviously, his fourth year. He's still only 23.
Right.
Like, he just turned 23. Because remember, Drea threw him the party where Fred VanVleet was there and Jabari security. Was there.
Yeah, they looked like his security guard.
They're like the Men in Black.
Yeah.
Jalen Green's fingernails black as well. But so, like, I give him the benefit of the doubt because he is a young player that we still probably should allow him more of a runway to develop, which is why I like the contract. Like, you add 2 years, don't let a good player or a high potential player leave for nothing. So maybe we do deserve, or he deserves that longer runway there. What'd you think of the Amin ejection?
I think it was warranted. I at first glance, I thought, well, that's a flagrant. It's got to be a flagrant. But then when you see kind of the like a wrestling move, the hand over the face, and that he kind of pulled back, I was like, man, the first thing that crossed my mind before I even thought flagrant two was, I was like, well, that's a flagrant, and that's a Amen Thompson. I would not expect that from him. So I was a little surprised that they threw him out. I thought that was just going to be a flagrant one. You call the technical, play on. The fact that they threw him out, maybe they saw more than even I did, but I was a little surprised, especially at that point in the game, that he did that.
Yeah, I thought it was the right call too. I agree with you. I would love to disagree and argue with, but I thought it was the right call. Like, you fouled him from behind, you kind of grabbed him around the shoulder neck area, and then also there was that blow to the head.
Yeah.
I hate how players get thrown out so easily nowadays in the NBA. I thought that was one that was justified.
He could have got hurt because you mentioned the first part of it, but then kind of the rake across the face after the one hand kind of came up over his face. And it's like all he had to do was just land on his shoulders on the way down. I think at the very worst, he'd got a flagrant one.
Yeah, I think it's kind of turned into his reputation a little bit too, though.
He is a little salty. I mean, you go back to the Tyler Hero fight and some of the other times he's been willing to mix it up. It's like, you know, you hear from a lot of people even inside the building around the team that say he's just the nicest guy. You wouldn't expect that. But at the same time, I think we like the fire. Mm-hmm. You just have to control it. You can't take it to that level because he's an integral piece in that fourth quarter if he's in the game.
Yeah, probably. You can't escalate to where you're getting thrown out of a game late. So we agree there. Giannis was fine, too. He's like, hey, look, he's playing hard. No hard feelings.
I give Giannis credit for saying, look, we don't need soft basketball. I like the physical play. So good on him. No hard feelings.
Yeah, bring him to the Rockets. Let him join this locker room.
If that was Harden, I mean, Giannis would have a different idea.
The other storyline was the Alpi turnover. Driving to the basket. Was it a three-point game? Three-point game. Under 30 seconds to play. It was three because you could have iced it at the line.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
No, it was a three-point game. It was a three-point game. And he tries to drive to the basket, tries to go like behind the back neck to Jabari, throws it away. It was stupid. Now, I do admire Alpi like owning up to it immediately. Like, yeah, it was stupid. That's my fault, guys. But this is one of those things where like I don't fully trust Alpi in crunch time because Alpi's good for a few turnovers in crunch time.
No
doubt. This was a dumb one. A lot of times they aren't dumb. They're just kind of sloppy with the ball. This one was dumb by Alpi.
Absolutely ridiculously dumb. And when you look at it in the grand scheme of things, and it's ironic, too, that Luka makes the same pass out to a three-pointer later in the night in the Laker-Mavericks game. At that point in the game, you could accept that. And I saw Big Sarge on Twitter say, oh, you know what? No fault to Alpi. I mean, if Jabari takes one more step, that's a great pass, and no one's mentioning a thing about it. I damn well bet you their coaches, whether he got that ball to Jabari or not, would have mentioned that and said, we pull that ball out, we run the clock, we get fouled, we win the game.
He said that they wouldn't have minded if it connected?
Yeah, he said, yeah. He's like, all Jabari was one step behind it. If he would have been there, no one would have said a word about that pass. I damn well bet you that the coaching staff and others would have pointed out, you don't make that pass and even try that. Yeah. You'd be lucky if it connected.
Yeah, I think that's a bad take for sure. You know what it reminded me of a bit was that Reed Sheppard three a few weeks ago.
In transition.
Yeah, where it's like, dude, you need to be eating some clock.
Yep.
Like, even if it goes in, that's not a good shot. Alpi, even if that pass connects and it leads to the dunk, still not a good pass. Like, that's bad basketball. Like,
exactly.
It's the decision-making, right? It's not the execution there. It's the decision-making of what you're doing. And that was poor decision-making. Fortunately for the Rockets, it didn't burn them.
This is where you turn it to the coaching staff, but based on what Ime said in the post game, the veterans had already done it before the coaches even had a chance to, but everybody really emphasized, you know, you just don't make that play right there. You run the clock out. You don't even go near the basket. Once you get the offensive, you just reset. You run the clock out. You get fouled. We win the game. And so it's a learning, teaching, coachable moment right there. But yeah, I mean, hopefully next time, because the other guy that's really worrying me on that front, and I meant to mention this to you one of the first two games after the break, Tari Eason continues to make really non-smart plays at the end of games.
You didn't want to say dumb, did you?
I didn't. My daughters told me that it's the S word, and I'm thinking it's a different S word.
You can't non-smart.
Say, yeah, you can't say stupid or dumb around the kids.
Brian, don't do any non-smart things today, all right? You're in there training. Don't do any non-smart things.
I can't make any promises.
No, I mean, look, XX Ron brings up a good point on Twitch. He said Ime told us they had low IQ.
Lately. I don't think he thinks overall.
No, he thinks you're playing dumb lately.
Yeah.
All right, 713-780-ESPN. Busy show. We got plenty planned for you. Our cohorts are opining about the Texans. Do we agree, disagree with what they're saying? Debo or Diggs, we'll have that discussion. Making mock drafts great again. NFL, there's a lot going on around the NFL. Quarterback movement. Could there be a Hall of Fame potential player that's coming out of retirement? And this Jose Altuve thing in left field, he got rid of his infield glove, only has an outfield glove. Is that coach speak or is it real? 713-780-ESPN. We're on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're on Twitter at ESPN975. Blankers at Pac-Man Joel. Brian at Sack by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Your thoughts on Rockets Bucks when we return. It is the B's, ESPN975, ESPN925.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You know what this song kind of sounds like at the beginning?
Tell me.
Put Me In, Coach.
Yeah, I hear that, John. The beginning. A little bit. I can hear that.
Skinner.
Yeah, at the beginning. You think AJ would play this song?
No.
AJ's actually a little bit of an older soul. Like I know this is not as old as this song, but he plays Nirvana all the time. He loves them.
That's older than him.
So
no.
He didn't answer the question.
Yeah, I did.
He answered questions like my wife does.
No.
Sounds like a great person.
Would he, yes or no question? Well, you could do this, you could do that. Okay, well, yes or no?
I think he would.
Okay. I'm going to go no as well. I'm going to go no.
You want to explain your answer? Or?
Yeah, I just don't think he'd play the song.
I don't think he is as old a soul as you're saying. He might be an older soul, but I don't think that's in his...
I'll say it. He's way too cool to play this song.
I don't think there's anything wrong with
this way song. He's way too cool to play this song, is what it is. Yeah, you were trying to get it out of me. You got it out of me.
You finally said it.
No, I like that song. You're brave. Texter, I work 5 back-to-backs every week and make slightly less than the Rockets. No simpy. I think that means sympathy. Mm-hmm. How do you work 5 back-to-backs every week in a 7-day week?
That's not mathematically possible.
Hashtag math.
Yeah.
Mm. Hashtag math. Plus, you're not making millions. These guys are making millions. They need their rest. And they're also playing other professional
maybe
athletes.
Maybe it's 5 double shifts in a week. Like you have, like maybe. You work 16-hour days.
That could be it.
Like if you're in a medical profession, maybe that's it.
I don't think they let medical professionals do that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like HIPAA's in play there.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if HIPAA's in play there. But they're not going to let.
HIPAA, they're not going to let. They're
not going to let medical experts work 16 hours a day.
No way.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Especially like on multiple days. Like I know that a lot of people, doctors and like ER doctors and such, they do like the 4 on and then they get like 3 off because of. The long shifts, but I mean, you're going to do less than stellar work if you're dog tired, no matter, and just sucking down caffeine like a lot of people have to do. You can't do that.
No, you can't do that. I mean, I work 3 hours a day and it's just labor intensive. It is tough. It is hard.
I'm a dog.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't do back to back. Like, could I do 3 hours and then 3 hours? No. Neither could Brian.
I mean, I'm literally doing it.
Yeah, but you're not talent this show. You're not talent this show. It's much, much different. XX says the texter is using Joe George math. Joe's not even here, and he's catching strays today. XX Ron also wanted to take you to task, Blankers. He said you lost a bet to him.
Absolutely did.
What was it?
I congratulated him.
Just straight up win yesterday?
Yep. Yep.
So what did he win?
He wins an ESPN t-shirt.
Oh, okay. What was his side of it?
Like a Starbucks gift card for $5. The coffee. Coffee versus a t-shirt.
Okay.
And I won the second one with Total Dallas.
I feel like you had, what was that bet?
That was the same bet. He had Dallas beating the Lakers last night.
Oh, okay. Okay. That's way better on your side. To get a coffee versus a shirt that you have, like, you're not paying for the shirt.
Yeah, you're not spending any money.
But he valued it at over $25, so he thought it was very substantial to him. So we went back and forth on what to bet.
No,
he wanted that, so I was good.
I'm not dogging you.
Yeah,
I'm saying that you got good value here.
Yeah.
Well played, sir. I respect it.
And then I got Total Dallas to do the same bet.
you're starting to, like...
Now, Total Dallas has to pay
Iraqy
up.
Here.
Total Dallas has to pay up because he owes the gift.
He's going to go to Todd at the end of the week. He's like, hey, can I get 10 more t-shirts?
Hey, Todd, we're out of shirts.
Hey, I learned from Jake Asman. You work the prize closet to your advantage.
Texter, unofficial Killer Bees game. Every time Branham disagrees, take a shot or drink another beer. That sounds fun.
The blood alcohol level there would be.
Let's do that on a Friday whenever we can Uber to work. That sounds fun, though.
Ooh, double if you get the disagreement with the Jeremy Branham signature.
I'm down. That sounds like a great time. Texture, I love how Amin chokeslammed an MVP and no one even stepped to him. That's a good call. I like toughness on my team. And, like, I don't want him to be dirty. Yes, we always need to walk that line. But I want my team to have a reputation that when you go to play them, it's going to be hell for 48 minutes. So I do like that reputation. Yes, you don't want to be dirty. But I like that Amin's becoming kind of an enforcer in the NBA or respected for his toughness in the NBA.
But if they're saying that no one came to his defense.
No, they're saying no one stepped to him. Like, no one came to fight him on the other team.
Oh, they did. Yes, they did. And the referee stepped in, got in the way.
Like, it never got close.
No, because the ref saw it coming because he was coming from the corner and he cut him off. But yeah, there was at least one Bucks player that was going to have an issue with it, but they kind of nipped it quick enough.
Yeah, I love me some good confrontation on the floor. Another texter, Ocho Blankers, is Amin Thompson now Draymond Thompson?
No, not at all. Not at all. Look, I think that I like the fire in his belly. I'm a little bit worried because I don't want him thrown out of like games like Draymond because he's far too valuable to this team. But I like the fact that he doesn't back down to anybody because I've been around a lot of these Rockets teams where they had no enforcer and no tough guy and no one that was willing to stand up for themselves or others, and that's a horrible look.
No layups, man. No layups.
I think that's a product of Udoka.
Probably. Yeah. No doubt. No, he enforces toughness, and they play tough, and hey, no easy baskets,
He's MF and LeBron.
Yeah.
I mean, that's definitely coming from your head coach.
He wants that attitude. I want that attitude, too. Like, would you rather have this attitude, and maybe you have a player, too, that goes too far, you know, a couple times a year they get ejected? Do you want to be labeled as soft? Like, give me the former.
Yeah, I
want to be
you.
The soft team.
I want a team that's tough. I want a team that doesn't back down. I want a team that's aggressive, and I think that Udoka does too. And if more players play like Amin, that's great. But if you're a better player like Amin, you also have to kind of know when to say when.
Yeah, you gotta pump the brakes before you get ejected. And I don't think Amin thought he was going to get ejected when he did it. I don't think he was. I mean, it kind of looks dirty, but I don't think his intent was I'm going to be
really
filthy
did.
Here. I think it was more I'm not going to allow an easy basket, and then like you know all of a sudden he's scraping him by his eyes like he's Ric Flair.
It made the rounds of all the NBA the NBA Twitter sites and everything.
Good.
It made the rounds quickly because like just on first glance you're like, oh boy, it looks like his head was yanked back, and then when you see the replay, it's actually worse.
Yeah, I like it. This texture says five back to backs equals working 5 days a week. I don't think that it does.
No. Back-to-backs, yeah, no. Because if you had five back-to-backs, that's 10 total days.
I mean, I guess I see his point. Like, we work Monday through Friday, so we're working back-to-back-to-back-to-back. That's different. It's different. Like, if you're working 5 days a week, it's back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back. It's not five separate back-to-backs.
Like, they just said the Rockets are concluding their fourth straight back-to-back, which means that's eight games. That's four back-to-backs. So that involves eight games. So if you say you work five back-to-backs, that's 10 days.
Yeah, there's too many numbers. We're a bunch of dumbs on the killer
bees. Call Joe. Get him on the line. He'll figure this out.
I'm out on this. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HR&P listener line. Our cohorts, they have some thoughts and some takes on the Houston Texans. One from Dell, one from Joe. Do we agree? Do we disagree? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the killer bees live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5, 713-780-ESPN. So our cohorts have some opinions about the Texans. I thought it was a good conversation, one worth having. See if we agree or disagree with them. First one is Dell. Dell posing a question of how to allocate resources for the Houston Texans.
The Texans, without a lot of space, are weak on the interior. So are you devoting draft compensation and $30 million to another wide receiver to bring your total up to about, what is it, $55 million for two receivers? When you don't have an offensive line that your quarterback can stand behind, it's a combination of things that make me uneasy about the thought of going young. If you need to pay a guard to be solid here, not even to be great, just to be solid, and maybe we talked about Emay talking about the IQ of his team, just to add to the offensive line IQ, because they appear to not be able to handle game. Well, it's not appear. We saw it. They don't handle games and stunts. Maybe you need someone who has shown the ability to do that. I would like more adept interior players when it comes to handling things that'll get their quarterback killed.
All right. So Del Olea, you can listen to him.
No, I was going to say he wants depth and all that, but.
What time's this show? 10 to noon?
10 to noon.
10 to noon. Yeah, 10 to noon. I agree with him. I agree with him. Like, to me, this is how you allocate your resources. And the resources the Texans have, they're going to have financial resources. And Nick Caserio talked today. Did Lance send the MP4 today, Brian?
No, he didn't send me one.
He didn't send the MP4. I wonder why he didn't do that.
He didn't FedEx the cassette?
No, didn't FedEx it, no.
Interesting. But, yeah, we'll hear Caserio in a little bit talk about that allocation of resources. They can create some cap space, blah, 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 blah. And then they have draft capital, right? So, like, they have needs. Every NFL team has needs. Texans are not unique in the fact that they need stuff. They need help. But we can isolate those areas. They need wide receiver help. They need interior offensive line help. And then it kind of – everything else is kind of on the back burner. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you need depth. You need middle – interior defensive linemen because all your guys are free agents. Maybe they bring back some of their guys. So it's really a conversation of how do you attack the interior offensive line? How do you attack wide receiver help? And if you have some financial resources, not a ton, less than you had last year, some financial resources – some draft pick resources currently have the 25th pick in the draft. Nick Caserio is a Willen Dillon, son of a gun, probably moves out of pick number 25. How do you spend that? I agree with Dell in the sense that I'd rather go young at receiver, a skillful position, get them coached up. They're still not going to be the one because you have Nico Collins, and then use the financial resources you have to shore up the middle of that offensive line. I agree with Dell.
Yeah, I would say yes to that as well because of the fact that what we do know is, like you said, Nick is fully capable of getting some extra picks. And he's handled the trade game pretty well for the most part after he got away with throwing away picks for a while when he first got started. But overall, what we do know, too, is that if they're going to go for offensive line help, I want veterans. I want veterans that have been there, done that, know what to do. Don't need to be like, while you're not only trying to get them to fit into the position that they're supposed to be playing, or positions, like the two guys that have the versatility, like Patterson and Juice Scruggs, but now you're worried about, can they read coverages? Can they get them into their play quick enough? Can they do these kind of things? I need veterans, and I don't need veterans kind of like on the downside like Shaq. I need veterans that have already proven themselves so we don't have to worry about a draft pick that fails like Kenyon Green. And on the flip side, I believe that what we've seen across the league, and especially with Nick's ability to find receivers, is the fact that he's pretty good at analyzing and getting talent out of the draft at the wide receiver position. So that's why I've been very, very staunch on 25 goes to a wide receiver. I would like to look at free agency to address the offensive line, and then you go from there.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. Like, and it's not as binary as that. We understand that, but like, use that as the baseline. Young receiver draft, interior offensive line, the resources you have financially. So it sounds like we're in agreement with Dell. And again, 10 to noon weekdays. Here was Joe George, Killer G's. This wasn't today. I mean, something. Why was Joe absent today, by the way, Brian?
Do we know?
Yeah, I don't know if it's for air.
Yeah,
but what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. So what happened?
It's not for air.
So here was Joe about the Texans going all in. Is this something they can do this offseason?
Joe, you ask this question. Are the Texans good enough for another all-in move? What do you think about that?
People, like the ESPN article that's suggesting that the Texans trade for Garrett Wilson. We're assuming that's going to take, what, at least two first-round picks? Like the idea of, I know they don't need a pass rusher, but guys like Myles Garrett, Micah Parsons, these big-name players are going to be available this offseason. And I was just thinking, like, does it make sense to trade for anyone of that caliber with where the roster stands currently? The Texans went all-in last year, and what did it get them? It got to the same exact place they were the year before. They won the division, and they won one playoff game.
A slightly more respectable exit.
So does it make sense to trade a bunch of draft capital right now when, like, you need young players, when you've also gone all in already with your cap space? And, yes, they can maneuver stuff, and they can open up room, but they've put themselves in a position with way less flexibility than if they were more patient. So my answer is no.
Do you agree with smoking Joe George and his hot take here?
Well, I don't agree that they'd have to give up two firsts. I mean, what we saw was a first and a second next year, if that was in the running. But I think you and I discussed this. I don't think the Jets, now with the new regime in, I don't think the Jets are looking to trade Garrett Wilson. But I think that because of the fact that they could get creative and they might have to get creative to create more financial flexibility, But I think that overall, I'm going to avoid trading away picks at this point. But I believe that they can go all in again. I mean, look, they identified an offensive line they thought was going to be worthy of the rest of the team. And it didn't happen. But more so than that, the skill positions that players that they brought in got hurt. And yeah, Joe Mixon bounced back, and Joe Mixon had a hell of a year. I don't know if even Joe Mixon's capable of another year like that, but I know that he was really good, and I expect him to be at least above average next year. But you lost Diggs, you lost Tank, and yet you still made the playoffs, won a playoff game, and I think you were in the game with Kansas City. I'm not opposed to them going all in again, but there's a different way to do it than just saying, I'm going to give up some draft picks and get a wide receiver.
See, I think I agree with Joe, but I hate his points. Like, I don't think that they're capable of going, like, what all-in move do they have? Like, they don't have tons of money, so you can't just go bring in one of the very best free agent on the market. You have pick 25. Like, are you coupling multiple first-round picks to trade up for number five again, like they did a couple of years ago with Will Anderson? I don't think that they would do that. I think they're operating more. Like, I think when they made that Will Anderson trade, it was more because they had a surplus of draft picks and they felt like they could do that. Mm-hmm. They don't currently have that. And, like, I also disagree with the point where, like, he said that they went all in too soon. Like, last year when they brought in Diggs, traded a second round for him, they signed Danielle Hunter, made, you know, they brought in Danico Autry, Azeez Alshire, you know, the list goes on and on. But that's because they were capable of doing that. C.J. Stroud is in his rookie deal. Derek Stingley, you're going to have to pay this year, is in his rookie deal. Nico Collins got extended last offseason. You're not paying the majority of that one either. These young players all of a sudden are going to have to get paid, so you don't have the luxury of sitting around and waiting. I don't discourage or, you know, talk down about the way that Nick Caserio handled his offseason last year. You can make the case that maybe you don't trade a second rounder for Stephon Diggs, and that's a conversation that I will listen to, but you went all in too early. When else are you going to go all in? Like, these guys are going to get paid and take up a bigger percentage of the cap as you continue to go forward in the future because they deserve these contracts and you're going to try to keep them. And, like, we always talk about these quarterbacks on a rookie contract, and it's so valuable because quarterbacks that aren't on rookie contracts takes a huge percentage of the cap, even if they're just mediocre. Like the Geno Smiths, the Baker Mayfields, the Brock Purdy might get $50, $60 million. So you have to be aggressive whenever a quarterback's on their rookie deal. So that's where I disagree with Joe. I have no problem Caserio being aggressive last offseason. I just don't think he is going to be capable of being as aggressive this offseason because they are more limited financially than they were a year ago.
Yeah, I think that if you're the opposite is something that should annoy fans even more. I think it's that it's a controlled aggression in the way that you go about going for it. Like, you don't want to do what a lot of teams have done in the league where they end up like the Rams, where they go for it, and in the process, they gut all their future high draft picks, and then they're basically caught in a cap war every year trying to free up enough resources to re-sign and sign guys that continue to make them, you know, at a competitive level as opposed to restocking the cupboard with young players that get better. So I think the fact that Nick was able to do what he did last year, if he didn't do that, I think a lot of people would be mad, but he saw the opportunity because they kind of pushed the rebuild faster down the road than we thought that they could and turned it around, and he basically saw what you saw. Hey, before this quarterback gets on a big deal and some of these other guys have to get paid, we got a chance to really kind of keep this thing going quickly. Let's go for it. And I love everything that he did. So, yes, I would also agree with you that, and we did at the time, I really questioned the giving up a second for Diggs. But at the same time, the other moves I really liked. Mixon, I was bullish on. I thought he was going to be good. I don't think he had to extend him. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, what he did last year was fantastic. So I believe in a lot of what Nick does because it's a controlled aggression. You can go for it, but you don't go for it by gutting the cupboard of your draft picks and really overpaying.
And once you have a quarterback that's making 40% of your salary cap, you can't be aggressive.
No.
So, like, if you're going, like, you have to be aggressive when you have a rookie quarterback on his rookie deal. Like, there's no other time to do it because what's going to happen when they pay C.J. Stroud? C.J. Stroud's going to make a huge chunk of the salary cap, and all of these, like, these commodity pieces, like these luxury pieces, because Danielle Hunter's a luxury piece. Yes. You already had Will Anderson. You know, Diggs, you can make the case, was a luxury piece because you already have Nico and you had Tank. You can't do that once you pay Stroud. And like, it's not only Stroud. Like, Stroud's going to be the biggest, obviously, because he's a quarterback. But are you letting Will Anderson walk? No.
No.
Are you letting Derek Stingley walk? No. He's about to get paid this offseason. So you have to strike while you can. That's why I don't blame Casario. Like the whole he went aggressive too soon. When do you expect them to do it?
Right. When you have a chance, when it's within your range, when it's within your grasp, and you know you're not very far away from the top of the mountain, that's when you almost have to go for it, because these don't come along as quickly and as often as a lot of people would like to think that they do. And at a certain point, when you have to pay the quarterback, and because he takes up so much of your roster, I mean, of your cap space, it's going to be Rob Peter to pay Paul. Because now what you're going to say is, of my other valuable pieces, who's more valuable? Because you're going to probably get rid of a guy like Autry in order to keep the Danielle Hunter. And you're going to have to be making trade-offs where you're going to have less than around your quarterback because that money's so substantial. So while you're in this window of opportunity, you have to seize it. I hope he goes for it again. And I don't think go for it means gut your draft picks to go try and find all veterans. I think that players want to come here too. And you'll hear some of the things he said today too, but I think that he believes there's a way to get there again without, at least to some degree, and fix what's ailing them without having to break the bank or give up the picks.
Yeah, I feel a little bad that I'm going at Joe today whenever he's out. But hey, look.
He's probably still listening.
It's show business, right? Show business. And it was already planned. Yeah, I didn't know Joe was going to be out today. Business. Yeah, exactly. It's what's best for business. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Blanker's alluded. You're going to hear a little bit of what Casario had to say today. Nick Casario with Lance Zierlein Audio. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to the Killer Bees with Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blank, Branham, Bees, you, 713-780-ESPN. Texter on the HRMP listener line. When did Joe George say they went all in too soon? Okay, well, this is whenever Joe George said they went all in too soon.
The Texans went all in last year, and what did it get them? It got to the same exact place they were the year before. They won the division, and they won one playoff game.
A slightly more respectable exit.
So does it make sense to trade a bunch of draft capital right now when like you need young players, when you've also gone all in already with your cap space? And yes, they can maneuver stuff, and they can open up room, but they've put themselves in a position with way less flexibility than if they were more patient.
Said it
so
twice.
My answer is no.
Said it twice.
Indeed he did.
Said they went all in too soon twice.
The audio don't lie.
He did it twice. Dang, why y'all hating on Joe's take? I don't even disagree with the take, because I don't think it's possible that Casario can go all in. But to criticize him for going all in last year is it's odd to me. It's an odd one to me.
It's not the first time that like we've been the topic on their show either.
It's just good conversation. It's good intro. Interest squad, and you can listen to the Killer G's, except for today, noon to 3, weekdays. 75 says that Joe went to the SPCA to rescue Cookie. Do we want to do why was Joe off today? 713-780-3776?
I don't think today.
No, today's not the day? Okay.
We'll probably
Virginia says soft, picking a day when Joe isn't in the office. It is kind of soft. I agree with you, Vermont, but it was already planned before I even knew that. We almost did it yesterday, actually. But didn't get to it. So it was already in the script. It was already planned. Texter says this is Joe's burner phone, by the way. I knew it. I knew you were Joe's burner phone. Ocho says that, off topic, my boys and I are discussing whether or not we would play for Kelvin Sampson. For me, it's a big fat no, because I don't want to play for a coach who will bench me every time I make a mistake.
Our beloved Coon!
I always knew Ocho was soft. I knew Ocho was soft.
Super soft, and if you watch the games, I think that's an exaggeration to say that Kelvin will bench you if you make a mistake. I mean, I've seen Sharp, and recently Sharp made a mistake and was on the wrong side of the court when they were trying to run the clock at the end of the game, and he dropped some expletives and let him know that he was supposed to be on the other side of the court, but he didn't come out of the game.
Yeah, dude, sometimes. You're right. Yeah, it's selective.
You can make an example.
And also have some confidence in your ability, Ocho. Act like you're not going to make mistakes. That's a loser's mentality. It's soft, and it's a loser's mentality, Ocho.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, Nick Caserio had some things to say today. Not Lance Zerla. Where was Lance today? Did Lance leave the combine? Is he not there?
He tripped over
he's
still
a curb. There. He's probably playing disc golf somewhere.
Why didn't you send us the mediocre audio on his MP4?
I don't know. Maybe he had a brisket to overcook. I don't
or
know.
Or he had another random injury. Because normally when he goes to the combine, that's where the crosswalks cross
that's
him
true.
Up.
Yeah,
and that's where he normally goes
across,
down.
He can't walk across a parking lot without being unscathed.
He went to the St. Elmo's, got the shrimp cocktail, and couldn't recover.
Probably.
I'll tell you the right answer is. He's probably somewhere with Chris Ballard.
You're probably right.
The GM of the Colts. He's buddies with Ballard.
Yeah. He's hanging out with that guy. He's hanging out with the Colt fan of the year. But this is not Lance's audio. He was flexing the D'Amico audio yesterday. Like, we don't all get it on YouTube. But anyways, here was Nick Caserio talking today. He got into the financial ramifications that the Texans could be facing this year.
Yeah, I mean, everybody can massage the cap, salary cap, and do what you will. At some point, you know, I'm not a math major, but accounting, everything comes due at some point. So it's like our government. Like, I know we got a, you know, $40 trillion deficit. Well, at some point, we're going to probably have to pay for that, right? So you can push everything out as long as you want to. But, and we've talked about this, we look at the team building kind of in a two-year kind of window.
Window,
our 25, 26, where are we? What can we do? It doesn't mean, well, if we don't win enough games in that 2 years, then we're going to blow everything up. So just trying to be strategic, trying to make good, smart decisions along the way. You have to understand you're going to draft, you're going to have young players. Okay, if you're going to keep young players, okay, other players are going to have to roll off. So what's that balance? That's kind of the game that everybody's kind of playing.
There you go. He mentioned window, though, Nick. I thought you said a few years, or not even a year ago. Yeah. It's been within the last 12 months.
Mm-hmm.
You said you didn't know what a window was, Nick, and now you're talking about windows again. So a few years ago, you talked about these two-year windows. Then you're like, I don't even know what a window is. And now you're talking about windows again, Nick. Which side of the fence are you on here, man? Come
got
on. Make
a
up
lie.
Your, he did.
Got yeah, caught
him.
A lie.
Boom. But he talked about the financial ramifications there, which, like, we all know exist. I do agree with the whole, like, people, like, salary cap's a myth. You're eventually going to get bit. Yeah. And you need to be, I think, fiscally responsible if you want to sustain a long period of winning. And I think Caserio, like, imagines himself here for a long time. So I don't think he'll put the Texans in that financial bind like the Saints have been in the last couple
of
years.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think the Rams and the Saints are the two examples where at a certain point it will catch up with you. And it is going there will be hell to pay. And it's going to be super tough to kind of, you know, keep doing the juggling act to try and sustain the kind of winning that you're looking to do. But, again, a lot of general managers, when they're desperate, when they know that they're on the hot seat or, you know, the last year of a deal, they're probably going to be more apt to spend more money and do more things and not worry about draft pick because they, quite frankly, and we've heard the term used a lot, but I might not be here to see it through.
Yep.
So they're just going to go for broke. But Nick's not in the go for broke mode because, one, you still have a lot of young players before you have to pay them, and, two, you've already been competitive and winning.
See, I think that he feels like he's going to be here for a while. I really
oh, I
do.
Agree.
Like a lot of GMs and a lot of head coaches, I'm sure. Like, hey, I got to win. Like, I need to start winning here. They start feeling that seat get warm. I would say that D'Amico and Nick probably are, and maybe we'll do this tomorrow. But like, I imagine that head coach general manager tandem uh-huh. is top five and most secure that they're going to be in this
Agreed.
Position for as long as they want.
First
like,
thought feeling, I had was 4 to 5 years.
Yeah. Like Philly would be, let's say that one for tomorrow because I think
right,
it's a good conversation
a good
tomorrow.
Yep.
But I would, off the top of my bald head, before I even like start putting these teams on this list, I bet you they have top five. We'll kick this around tomorrow. 713-780-ESPN. Texter, you are well within your rights to talk trash on Joe's trash, his trash take. As much as Branham is a straight jabroni. And I hate to agree with him. He's right. When your quarterback is a real one on their rookie deal, you go for it. Well, I got to be a jabroni,
was
man.
Was that D?
I don't know. I don't know D's number.
I think D has completely turned the corner on me. He's now on your side.
I think D's fair and balanced.
He's neutral?
Yeah, I think he's – I mean, whenever you have a bad take, he'll mention it. Whenever I'm being a little sassy, he'll let me know that. But I think Coward D's
sassy.
Fair and balanced. And Coward D made me change my life. He made me look in the mirror, say, man, who is that guy? He's looking good. But who – you need to reevaluate how you're treating others. And ever since that moment, I've reevaluated how I treated others, and I haven't changed a dang thing.
Nope.
713-780-ESPN. Talking about some players now, because like they're going to be signing some dudes here pretty soon. Like we're going to see player movement pretty soon. The rumor mill's picking up. Debo Samuel out there. And D'Amico talked a little bit about Debo, what he had to say. And if you could only pick one, veteran receiver, Debo or Diggs? Well, let's make this a poll. 713-780-3776. Would you go Debo? Would you go Diggs, assuming the money's the same? It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 in HD, 97.9, HD2.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.